Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today in the studio is the producer, the man himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, my man.
Man, we need to work on that.
Yes, we do. And you know it, our friends and yours, the good day, sir, Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day, Steve.
Good day.
What a wonderful day. My goodness, this is the day that the Lord has made. I can't help it. I just get excited. Hey, I'm excited.
Bring it up, baby. Bring it up. Bring it up.
Oh, my goodness. We have so much to share with you today. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light of the world. We're going to be talking about the Bible app. My goodness, technology around the world. We're going to talk about God the Transformer. And so, so much more. We thank you for tuning in today. All of our friends on Facebook, we want to give you a shout out. There are so many across the world, we can't even name you all. But we thank you for joining us and being a part of this awesome conversation. We're honored that we're doing this together. No matter what you're feeling like today, let me tell you, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day because you know what? You got to make it a great day. You got to make it a great day. So, fellas, talk to us. What is going on today, Pat? I mean, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Are you really? So that just that. Oh, my goodness. Steve, talk
that
to us.
That just stare is getting hot.
Yes,
it's getting
it
nice.
Is.
It's getting hot. It's kind of just that continual sauna. You know, a lot of people pay a lot of money to have like a membership at a sauna.
Don't need one here.
Don't need one.
You don't even need one.
No.
Just step outside.
Just step outside.
There you go.
Start to melt.
You know what? And it's absolutely free.
There you go.
Free.
Won't cost you anything.
We can even make you a little plastic card or something.
So you know what's hot. You know what's hot when you're just standing, motionless, not doing anything.
Not doing anything.
And all of a sudden you start seeing these beads that are just drop. When you look down and there's a puddle.
There you go.
Not of water, but of sweat. I would say that's hot.
You know, some people you can look at them and be like, man, did you just work out? Like, no, actually I'm just standing here.
Just standing here.
just standing here.
Man, I looked at my dog, boy, Diesel was like, can I get some water?
Can a brother get some water?
Can a brother get some water? You got me out here on the deck in the sunroom. Can I get some water? He's looking at me and everyone said, look at the air conditioner. He's like, can I come inside? Can I please come? I'll be good. No, Diesel, you can't come.
Does Sonny get water?
Oh, Sonny gets water. Sonny, listen. They all get water. Sonny just happens to be in the house right now.
Oh, Sonny gets to stay inside.
But listen, I'm working to get him out. You know,
You're working on getting him out?
Listen, it's 4-1 right now. You know, they're,
who's the one?
Oh, yeah, I'm the one trying to get him out. And there's four that's trying to keep him in. You know what I'm saying? And they say, yeah, it's something going on here. We got to figure this out. We got to work it out. Maybe you can join me in prayer. But Sonny's got to get outside. I said Sonny's got to get outside. They're trying to convince me that he's an indoor dog. I'm thinking, listen, all dogs right now are outside dogs. But Daisy was like, this ain't fair. I was here first. What's going on?
Lord, bring Daisy some water.
He's
bring
got
him,
water.
Bring him some
he's
water.
He's actually loving that yard, you know. He's loving that yard.
I can imagine.
He's like, oh, my goodness. I don't have to stay cooped up. I can run.
He's probably like running back and forth.
Dude, he is running everywhere. He's so big. He's a Doberman, and seeing him run, man, it's like watching an eagle soar. I mean, he has this gallop, and it's this big dog has this beautiful gallop, almost like a horse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing watching him run. You can just see him run all, you know.
Did you say he's 70 pounds?
About 70 pounds.
My goodness.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He is a big boy. He eats a lot, drinks a lot. We'll leave it right there.
How's he around Maya?
Oh, he's great.
I mean, she's little and he's good. Real gentle. Awesome.
He doesn't come near her after the very first time she came home, and I just said it straight for him. He just does beeline all around her.
Right.
He doesn't even come near her, which is good.
Wow.
But guys, you know how these smartphones, mm-hmm. I think they're a little too smart.
Mm. Smarter than I am.
Hello. They are revolutionizing everything we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you think about it, in the last 5 years, I mean, we've had cell phones for a while. Then you had some Windows-based phones that had some software and stuff like that. But it really only has been, really, the iPhone has just kicked a hole in this technology that so many companies have been able to, you know, come through that hole that they blazed. And they were the ones that first really came out with apps.
Yeah.
But these apps and this technology, I mean, there's an app for everything. Everything. Mm-hmm. Someone just showed me, just when you think that they're, you know, they've made all the apps that you could possibly think of.
Mm-hmm. There's an app for that.
There's an app for that. And someone made another app.
Yep.
And pretty neat thing. Remind me to tell you about this keyboard I saw for the iPad. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, that's a side note.
I think I saw it.
USB drive.
No.
You can put a USB drive into this the one, keyboard.
This one you can
see. Dude, that ain't nothing. You know what I saw?
What did you see?
Dude set his phone down.
Yes, sir.
Swiped his hand on it.
Yes, sir.
A light came on, shot a keyboard illumination on his desk.
What?
They used to make
on his desk.
Now.
They've got, oh, they've, yeah. They have a full computer.
Virtual keyboard.
Virtual keyboard on the desk, typing and tapping away.
They have a full.
By light.
By light.
Am I kidding? I saw it.
We got to get this. We got to get this. Steve, did you have something to say? Talk to us, Steve. What do you got to say?
They have a full computer out of a pen. You can take a pen, put it on its end. It will, one, project the keyboard down and then project the display up, put up on a wall.
A pen.
All out of a pen.
All out of a pen. All I'm telling you, this cloak and dagger stuff, I mean, remember you were watching you know, movies when you were a kid and you were thinking.
You were happy, that'll never happen.
You were happy to have a walkie-talkie. Yeah. You're walking around, you thought you were bad with a walkie-talkie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now the technology it's just rapidly advancing, mm-hmm. and makes life convenient and does a whole bunch of other things. And we're going to be talking more about technology and advancement and what that all means later in today's program. But there's an app for everything. And one of the apps that has been widely successful, huge. Of course, people heard of these games and all those time-wasting games. You know, those are good for the first 5 minutes. Take them off your phone; they'll steal your life away.
Yeah,
they'll steal your life away. Put it down when you can't sleep at night because you're playing a game. That's not good. You're falling in the grip. Get rid of that app. However, there is an app that's really wonderful. You may already have it, but there is the YouVersion Bible app. The mm-hmm. YouVersion Bible app. Really neat app because it has, I don't know how many translations, mm-hmm. but a whole bunch of translations of the Bible, different languages, different versions. Mm-hmm. And it's just really wonderful. I mean, it's a great tool that you can have there. I personally enjoy reading the Word. I always encourage everyone, especially if you're a new believer, listen, you really want to get a paper Bible in your hand. If you don't know where the books of the Bible are, if you're still learning, you know, New Testament and Old Testament, the greatest way that you're going to learn is when you're abiding and you're thumbing through and the pictures go through, you know, the pictures. Okay, I read the picture
what
Bible.
What Bible are you reading?
do you have a picture
pray
Bible?
For you,
is there a confession going on?
Is this the action Bible?
Did I say that? Actually, when the pages are going through your fingers, they're going through your fingers. You can actually see what book that is, yeah. what chapter that is,
all right.
so that you can have a quick reference. So a lot of times these e-readers and things on your apps, you know, on your phone, you have no context, no perspective. Is this in the back of the book, in the beginning of the book? Where mm-hmm. is this?
Right.
And you really want to get the Word inside. You want to be familiar with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And there's coming a day where you may not have access to your electronic device. You may not want to get on your electronic device.
Exactly.
And you're not going to be able to know where the word is. And one thing you don't want to be is in a place in your life where you're super dependent on technology, that if technology shut down at any given time, or you had to shut it down, you would be lost. And there is a fine line here. There's a fine line that we're all living right now, that you need to do things with your hands. You need to get a paper planner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a paper planner. You write it out. You need to abide. A lot of people say, listen, I'm a pretty quick typer. I took typing in classing. In high school. Don't know how that happened, but I did. I'm a fairly decent typer. I can type a lot faster maybe than I can write. But I'm telling you, it's a whole lot easier to you're connecting with God in a different way when you can start carving it out and writing it out on paper, as opposed maybe to typing it. Especially not to mention that you can lose things off your computer.
Yeah.
And that revelation that God gave you is gone. That's not a good feeling when your computer's wiped out. But this YouVersion app has been so widely successful that they're getting ready to celebrate 5 years. Their fifth year anniversary is coming July the 10th. July the 10th, and this is their goal. Between now, today, and July the 10th, we're talking, you know, maybe a few weeks or so. Their goal is to reach not 10, not 20, not 40 or 50 million downloads. Their goal is to reach 100 million downloads of the Bible. Like you to know that right now they presently have 95,869,480 downloads.
Wow.
How almost there.
Awesome is that? Maybe how awesome is that? Now everyone have access. This is a free app, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't cost you a thing. But now the Bible can be downloaded right on your phone, and you can have access to it. And one of those versions in there, you can actually hit audio, and you can actually hear it. And that's kind of real nice to do maybe while you're, before you abide or after you abide, whatever, or when you're driving in your vehicle, you may want to just go ahead and listen to have the Bible, the word going forth, you know, it's being read. Well, this is an awesome, awesome thing. This YouVersion first came out in 2007, this Bible app. And, I mean, every single year, it's just been absolutely reaching the world. I mean, these downloads, I only can imagine how many downloads that is a day. But this app has 4.5 stars. And listen, this is a wonderful thing for a technology base right now to be able to have. Sure, it's convenient. Sure, it's great. But you want to make sure that you're not super dependent upon it for all your Bible reading. You know, you really want to make sure that you are familiar with your sword, with the Word of God, and that you have it with you all the time. You know, I don't know what's happening in some places, but if you're going to a fellowship, bring the Word of God with you. Don't just rely on your phone. Bring the Word of God with you. Bring the Word. Honor it. Cherish it. Don't just set it down anywhere. Don't put stuff on top of it. But honor the Word of God, and so that you can readily have it available, and not just bring it to your fellowship. I mean, really want to get a. I was talking to Tony the other night, and he tells me, "Man, I bring my Bible to work. I bring it everywhere." Shout out to Tony, and that's what you want to do. Bring the Word of God with you everywhere you're at, because you have it.
Mm-hmm.
You can read it. Can't read what you don't have.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you have a break, there's nothing like spending that break or that lunch with the Lord. I've done many of those. Get in that car or pull over somewhere for a cup of coffee or lunch. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like getting that word in the afternoon. You fed your physical body. Now you can feed your spiritual body. And you can get filled up with the word. You know, little game I used to play is half a days. If you have long days out there and you try to make it through, break your days in half. Just get to 12. Get to lunch. Get to 12. And at 12, go ahead and wash your face, you know, maybe brush your teeth, get you something to eat, and abide a little bit. I know you abide in the morning, but just go ahead and abide a little bit. Encourage yourself in the Word, and it's amazing how you're ready. Well, I like to say, get ready for the second half.
Mm.
You know, there's two halves in a football game and a basketball. Get ready for the second half. Come out of that second half ready to make the day great. Because, you know, a lot of times, if you're not focused and intentionally living the day, some people start off real slow in the morning and have to, you know, get heated up as the day goes. And by lunch, they're full steam. And then they come back down. By the time they get home, they're wasted, right? And there's some people that start out burning real strong in the morning. And by 12, they're halfway. Their tank is halfway done. And by the end of their day, they're completely at zero. And the truth of the matter is that you want to live every single day on purpose. And you want to embrace the day. Mm-hmm. Take a hold of it and understand that, listen, whatever you've got to do to get yourself in the place that you can maximize today, you need to do it. So if that means eating right, sleeping right, you can't stay up all night watching TV.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
And not getting no sleep, and then you're going to have a productive day the next day. Or not abide or skip out. You want to embrace the day and go strong all day.
Amen.
And give that day unto the glory of God. Because once that day's over, it's in the can. You can't repeat. There's something about the day. You just can't repeat it. It's what you, it's no woulda, shoulda, coulda. Mm-hmm. It's done. It's That's finished. That. But if you start the day off right and you maintain that by recalibrating, because, you know, you can get off track. Somebody can say something or something can happen. That's why that abiding time is so beautiful, because you can bring yourself back into alignment. I like to call the bumper cables, you know, the bumper things when you go bowling. I need those when I go bowling because I can't bowl straight.
The bumper rails?
Yeah, the rails, cables, whatever you want to call them. I can't. I make words out, you know, hey. When you throw that ball down, it goes in the gutter, you know. Sometimes life is like that. Somebody says something, you have a bad situation, someone gives you a text or a call, and instantly you want to go off down to the other side. Mm-hmm. But listen, you got to hit the pins down. I got to hit the pins down that day. And so whatever bumper rails you need to put on the side of there to make it happen, do it. Because at the end of the day, you want to know that, listen, I lived today to the fullest of God. There's nothing sadder, and I guess we'll just go there right now. There's nothing sadder than to come to the end of your life, to come to the end of your existence, to come in the slowing years of your life, only to realize that most of your life has just been wasted opportunity and you didn't seize the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, the president has the same 24 hours that you and I and we all do. And he's managing the world.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing with the 24 hours that we've been blessed with? Seize the day, seize the moment, because you don't know how much time we have left. And let it be said of you that when you pass, that your life was like a sponge and you wrung it all out for God.
Yeah.
There was nothing left. You don't want to come to the end of your life and be like a wet sponge and they say, wait a minute, what's all this still left in here?
Yeah.
You want to be a wrung out, twisted up, dry sponge, because you wrung yourself out all for the Lord. This is the day. This is the moment. Go ahead and seize it and make it a great day.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Hi, I work in a major retail store in Massachusetts on the overnight shift.
Okay.
And we're allowed to have our radios down low in our aisles that we stock, but I was told that I cannot have any religious music, that it was in our handbook that they gave us, which I looked in the handbook, and it is not there at all.
What about other music? Is other music being played by other employees?
Any other kind but religious, which is me, which I'm a Christian.
Well, privately owned companies have a lot of rights that public institutions would not, but one thing is I think they've got it wrong. They probably think, somebody in human resources thinks, that allowing Christian music to be played while you're doing work are somehow a violation of the law, and that's just not the case. And they've got it wrong here, I'm to be quite blunt.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the VFM radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN Radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just.
Isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the break, back from the break, it's Pat, Chris, and Steve. Yeah. Good one, Steve. Well, you know, we just finished talking about technology, and my goodness, where it has been, where it is today, and my goodness, we're going to talk about where it's going in the program today. But, you know, guys, if you remember this, this is maybe reliving a little bit of our childhood here. But remember those... Now, it's amazing how what we looked at as children, the programs and television programs, they're just no original concepts. They're just remaking, you know, it's like Spider-Man again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. Didn't see we Spider-Man with little children? It was like, and they're upgrading them. But you remember that when we were kids, they the original or the first Transformers were these little... toy things that
actually made out of metal.
Made out of metal, yeah. Today they're made out of plastic, but they were made out of metal, and you can change it from a bird to a car to whatever. I didn't have too many of those, but they had them.
Kristen.
Chris.
He was a Transformer connoisseur.
Was he really? Yes, I was. I can imagine.
And you were a Transformer?
No, connoisseur.
Connoisseur.
Yeah.
We won't ask him to spell that now, but that's okay. But I was thinking about, you know, because the whole Transformer thing is, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's a toy that children a long time ago played with, and I guess they play with it now since they've upgraded, have other versions of all these things. And so the idea of the game is that it transforms from whatever it was into a car or into a robot or whatever, but it totally changes. It started out as a robot, and before you finish changing it and twisting it and turning it around, this thing was... I thought the Rubik's Cube was amazing. You know what I'm saying? That's amazing. Until I found that I could take the stickers off and change the colors, but I won't talk about
that. Oh, my goodness.
The Rubik's Cube was amazing because you could get all the colors on one side. But when you get this metal toy that goes from a robot and completely transform into a vehicle, and it's no longer, you're thinking, wow, it was started off as one thing and it changed completely to the other. Well, I was thinking about how God is the original Transformer, right? God is the original Transformer. He takes us from what we were, right?
Yeah.
Or what we are to what he wants us to be, and the two don't look alike, that we were once one way and we have become something else. Mm-hmm. And you look at an individual like Saul, right, in the Bible, who later became Paul, but before he became Paul, there was a transformation that occurred there in the middle, and he had some issues. You know, Saul, you know, persecuted the church. He was coming against Christians. It was hurting them, killing them, and only later to become one of them and writing most of the New Testament. You think about a transformation that occurred. I mean, this was an individual, Acts chapter 9 tells us, who was persecuting. That means doing Christians harm. He was on a hunt. He had letters. He had authorization. He was taking them out. He was not a friendly guy to us. And then a transformation occurred in his life, well, we'll talk about it here in a minute, where he actually not only stopped persecuting Christians, he became a Christian, and not just a Christian, he became a leader, became an apostle. He wrote most of the New Testament, a large percentage of it, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we have Bible college built off of the things that the Holy Spirit used him to write. When you think about a transformation in definition is changing in form, appearance, nature, or character. It's a complete change. It's a transformation to change from one thing completely to another. And many Christians today, I sense as I talk to them and just be, you know, I'm around that. They're wanting transformation. They feel almost defeated in what's going on in the country. They look at the country and they're saying they want to see their country transformed. They want to see their city transformed. They want to see their families transformed. But the truth is that you're never going to see a nation. You're never going to see a city. You're not going to see even your own family transformed unless you become transformed. It all starts with you. And it's just so amazing how everybody wants to start with somebody else. Okay? If we could just fix them people over there, right. You know what I mean? If we could just deal with that state has a whole bunch of issues. Can we just remove them from the union? You know, those people. No. Transformation, true transformation, starts with the individual. Somebody has to go first. And just as amazing is to see a physical transformation. If you've ever seen someone that has lost a tremendous amount of weight, I mean, they look completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Completely. I mean, someone that was in excess of several, you know, maybe hundreds of pounds, I mean, you just, their face, I mean, everything looks different. They don't look the same person anymore. There is a complete physical dramatic transformation. And just as dramatic as a physical transformation can be and has been for some folks, the same thing can happen to us in our spiritual life. There can be a transformation in our inner man that literally changes us from what we used to be to what God wants us to be. See, that's the whole goal. When someone says they have their own personal testimony, your salvation testimony is what you were like before Christ. And that is typically very bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not good. And then there is a clear line of demarcation. There's a clear line somewhere in your life. And maybe that line was several years in the making or a couple of months. It didn't probably happen in a day. Didn't happen in a day. But there's a period of time where that demarcation line, on the other side of that, is a wholly different person.
Yeah.
That person doesn't think the same, doesn't act the same, doesn't have the same conversations, doesn't normally even hang around with the same people, because you know who you're with really determines the company you keep, determines really how, you know, what you do and how you become.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's a transformation that occurs, and to be a Christian means to be in a continual state of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stop transforming. You don't stop changing, right? Because we need to be more like Jesus every single day. Every single day, we need to be more like him. And the question is, are we closer yet? Are we closer yet? Well, you know, I've been saved all these years. Listen, Steve Hill used to say, unless your shadow is healing the sick, you got a ways to go. You got a ways to go, Bubba. You know what I mean? If your shadow ain't healing the sick, you ain't there yet. And even if it was, still ain't there yet. It's impossible. It's impossible to say that we know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus and not be transformed. He is a life-changing, transformative force. And when you encounter him, you will come out of this thing totally different if you encounter him. If we're truly walking with Jesus, the transformer transforms us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He changed. It's a beautiful thing to see. There's nothing to me more encouraging to see someone who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to see the transformation of their life. They think differently. They act differently. And this is not because they have behavior modification and they're just, I got to act a certain way. And so they're forcing themselves. But something happened in the inside that affects the outside. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is that powerful?
Yeah.
I think it's powerful because that's what it's all about. It's about a transformation. So the thing about it is that we're called to be like Jesus in every single way. He led the example. In every single way, he is our model. This is who we look to. And that's the standard. That's the standard. And the biggest transformation that any of us can have in our life is to get the sin out of our life. You got to get the sin out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the sin out. You will not be transformed into what God has called you to be, the purposes of God in your life, if you are still living in habitual sin. And you got to get the sin out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't be transformed. You can't be transformed. And the thing about it is that it's to no longer tolerate. It's no longer to be passive. It's no longer to wink at sinful practices in your life as if Jesus is not aware of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about VFN Radio last week when we talked about where is God. You know where God is? He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. All at the same time. You can't not live a life that's compartmentalized and think that if you're a believer that Jesus is not present. No, he saw that and he knows what you just thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
He knows and sees it all.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it helps us to live a humble life and a transparent life and to say, well, okay, God, you saw it, and start dealing with allowing God to work in you. And the goal is to be like him. To be like him. But the question is, who does the transforming? Because a lot of people know they have a change and they want a change in their life. You know, so many well-believing Christians think that they have to try harder, mm-hmm. work harder to be all that God desires them to be. I mean, I was on that treadmill. You know what I'm saying? When I first gave my life to the Lord, just give me a book. You know what I'm saying? Just tell me what I got to read. I know how to read. Mm-hmm. What do I got to do? And I think a lot of men are like that. Just tell me what I got to do. What do I got to do? Mm-hmm. And I'll do it. And here's a clue. You can't do it. You can't do it. And you can't change it. You couldn't even bring yourself to God. Led you. God drew you to himself. You couldn't even save yourself. How could you change yourself?
That's right.
There is no book. There is no formula. Right? That transforms you. Man-written book. But God himself is the great transformer. I mean, my goodness, he took Abram to Abraham, took Sarai to Sarah, took Jacob to Israel, mm-hmm. took Saul to Paul. I mean, he's in the transformation business.
Yes, yeah.
What you used to be is not what you will be.
That's right.
If you allow God to do the transforming in your life, and only God can bring it. I mean, when you look at Paul and what was happening in his life, and he was persecuting the church, you know, this wasn't good. And what happened? What happened in Paul's journey in Acts chapter 9? I mean, he's riding on a horse. He's got his letter. He's got a couple guys with him, and he's going to town. I'm on my way to get some Christians and squash this. What happened that Paul went from a persecutor to now one that loves God, willing to suffer immensely for him? Because that's one of the things that Jesus, God told Ananias. He says, I will show him that he's going to suffer much for me. He will suffer much for me. What happened to this man? What happened? He had an encounter. He had an encounter with God that changed everything. The question is, when was the last time you had an encounter with God? I mean, really, a truly encounter. When was the last time that you quieted your soul before him? I mean, sometimes you got to get past the noise. Mm. We talk about this often, how there's just so much noise. And if you're not hearing noise with your ears, you're probably hearing noise in your head. And there's time for meditative, contemplative prayer and soaking and quietness of the soul before God. There is an encounter to have with him. There is a soaking in his presence. So what Saul was doing in his life wasn't good. Mm. But the deal was that Saul was confronted. His situation was addressed. He was addressed. He was doing all this stuff, and Jesus confronted him. What did Jesus say? He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Mm-hmm. That encounter was so real that it knocked him off his horse, mm-hmm. and struck him blind. Think about that. Many believers today are running from confrontation or an encounter that can help them. You know what I'm saying? Jesus confronted him. Mm-hmm. Jesus confronted him, and he was off the horse. He was off the horse, blind, saw a bright light. That was a confrontation saying, listen, you are on the wrong road, my brother. Mm-hmm. You are on the wrong path. And Jesus loved him enough to confront him in his situation. He encountered him. People always think that an encounter has to be this glowing thing. No, an encounter is sometimes addressing what's going on. But so many believers right now are running from any kind of confrontation, any kind of encounter that's going to change their life. And the truth is that, you know what? Transformation. How can you be transformed of what you do not even know? Mm. Mm. We need to be knocked off our high horse. With the truth of God's word.
That's right.
You can't be transformed of what you don't know. If you are going the wrong way, somebody has to encounter you. Someone has to confront you. I don't like confrontation. Dude, if you're going 90 miles an hour over a cliff, do you want someone to confront you and tell you, stop, there's a cliff here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to be confronted. Confrontation doesn't necessarily mean an argument or a fight, if you will. Confrontation just means something being addressed. And God was addressing Saul. You got to be willing to be confronted. And the thing about being transformed is that if we refuse to address what's going on in our life, how can we change it? How can God change it?
Yeah.
And if we're not abiding with God, how could we know what needs to be transformed?
Exactly.
If you're living in the dark and you don't open up the light of God's word, how do you going to know that you got some dark things all around? And when we spend time with God and we abide with God, God's word, his light begins to shine in the dark places and start to point things in our life that says, that ain't right, that ain't right, that ain't right. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. We can't conform to evil things. We got to conform and wrap ourselves and let God conform us to his image. Romans 12 says it's right. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Be transformed. Be metamorphosized by what?
By the renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And how does your mind get renewed?
Get in the word.
Get in the word.
Spend time with him.
Spend time with him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see the change in your life. You're not going to see the change, spiritual breakthrough. You're not going to see the encounter happening in your life until you absolutely allow God to address situations, that you encounter God, let the word shine light in your heart, so that things can absolutely change. They got to change. Your mind, you change by the water and by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
By the water of God's word, by the Spirit of God. Your mind is renewed when you abide daily with God and hide God's word in your heart. Every time you're abiding and you're hiding God's word in your heart, there are like seeds that are growing in your heart. And as you continue to water them, you continue to abide and seek his face and spend time with him, those seeds begin to grow and grow and grow. And before you know it, you know, you can plant some kind of grass that will overtake the other stuff that's in there. When you plant God's word in your heart and you allow God to work that soil of your heart and work those seeds of truth, that truth is going to overcome any bit of darkness in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's more powerful. Light belongs in darkness. Truth belongs in the dark places. And that's how God begins to transform us. Now, I've been on the slippery slope. And early in my walk, you know, I tried everything. I tried to do everything. And I think a lot of times we approach God in that way where we just give me a list, give me what to do, or we wallow over a certain situation, something that we can't break in our life. And the thing about it, God's saying, listen, spend time with me. Spend time with me. Encounter me. Let me encounter you. Let me transform you. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing or the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will renew us. He'll change us and he'll take us where? From glory to glory. John 5:35 says that this is Jesus speaking. And verily I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they be born of water and spirit. So God is the transformer. He's the original transformer. Allow him to make the necessary changes in your life that you may reflect more and more and more his glory. Get off that slippery slope. Get off of that to-do list. Get off of being defeated and just wallowing in why things won't change. And just cry out to God. Set time to be with him. Allow him and his word and the Holy Spirit to transform you into what he wants you to be. And you'll look back and say, who was that guy? Who was that girl? Mm-hmm. Because the word of God says that if any man, if any woman be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. But don't get off the transformation. Stay in that transformation. Stay in that place and allow God to confront you and encounter you and bring you to the place that he has always purposed for you to be. Let the original transformer transform you.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic, you know. John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, someplace that is a place that you can abide. You know, just I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer, that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease, right? All the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods. But go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you. A video and some information to be able to help you. You could start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason at all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you. You know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat, Steve, Chris. My goodness. We're talking about transformation and God being the original transformer. Listen, we can't do it. Nope. Some of us have tried, and we failed miserably. We can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Only God can bring the transformation in our life to bring us from what we were or what we are to what he wants us to be. And he's the perfect example. He's the perfect model, but we got to allow him. I mean, how many times, maybe in your own life, or talking to somebody else, that you're trying, and the harder you try, the less transformation occurs.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, somebody said to me, too, it's just like, you know, when you're at work, God's at rest. But then when you're at rest,
that's when
God begins. Because it's just like, it's that process of God's waiting for us to get to the end of ourselves. You're just saying, all right, I've tried all those things. I guess God's just going to have to do it. It's just like, that was the only way that was going to happen in the first place. And it's just like, as we do that and learn that lesson, because I've definitely had that lesson more than once. And just God's just reminding me, it's just like, it's only through me that you're able to do this.
Yeah.
It's only through God that we're able to transform.
Well, it's like the prodigal. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all right.
I was going to say, just like the prodigal son, it wasn't until he came to the end of himself. Then he humbled himself.
Yeah.
And then he went to go seek out the father.
Right.
And then when the father saw him,
he
welcomed him with open arms. But until he came to himself,
and
there was a void.
And that's the powerful thing about it, is that the father never ran after him. He allowed, because he knew the process.
Yeah.
He knew that's the process that has to take, that has to go to its complete fruition in order for that transformation to come to pass.
And the truth is, you were just saying, Pat, is so powerful, is that you got to come to the end of yourself. You got to come to the end of yourself, and you need to hate that sin. You got to hate that issue the way God hates it. And until you come to the end of yourself, you're on a, you know, you're just
on a treadmill.
You're just on a treadmill. You're just on a treadmill. And the thing about it is, like, are we sick and tired of seeing this thing? It's like, what is it? Let's get rid of it. Carve it out, cut it out, you know. But it happens when we submit to what God is doing, what God is saying, God's ways. And I've learned over the years, you know, throw your blueprint out the door when it comes to anything with God. Because God's not interested in our plans. It's like, many are the plans in a man's heart. You know what I'm saying? Many are the plans in a man's heart. But there's a word that separates this. But God is the one that determines his steps. You can plan. You can strategize. He has no problem with that. But he's the one that's going to give the order. I mean, it's like, you know, we were painting the house, and my little daughter, we had a little miniature roller. She was attempting to paint. She wasn't doing anything, and she wasn't messing anything up. But we kind of allowed her to feel like she was participating in what was happening. And it's like, that happens with God all the time. He's like, here's a little roller. I will let you come up with some plans. I will allow you to partner here with me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one who's steering this. If you're submitted to me now, if you're following me, I'm going to be the one that's going to, I'm the captain of the ship. I'm the one that's going to navigate you through all these waters and all these situations and everything that's going on in your life. I mean, I was the one that saw you lying in that pool of blood and said, live. You didn't do a thing. So if you couldn't save yourself, you certainly can't change yourself. And it takes humility and total dependency upon God and saying, I'm not going to do it. And oftentimes the struggle that people have, that if they're not doing something, if they're not touching something, if they're not trying to be involved in the process, mm-hmm. they feel it's not going to work. The truth is that we just got to let go and let God mm-hmm. and let Him do all the fixing and all the transforming.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Check it out. I was going out to eat last week,
uh-huh.
and I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin, and this girl, she just starts running up and down at the different tables, and she's like, "Hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app?" And I'm like, "The what?" She's like, "You know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it." And I'm like, "Well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone." She's like, no, I use your phone to find my phone." And I was like, "Oh, they got an app for that?" She goes, "Yeah, they got an app for that." I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking, and she started telling me about the app I needed to get. So I got that app, and I go, "Well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get." And she's like, "Really?" I go, "Yeah. There's an app, vfntv.com. And she's like, "Well, how do I get to that?" I said, "You can go right on Android, or you can go on iTunes and type in vfntv.com. Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that." And we start talking. She's like, "Wow, there's an app for that." I says, "Yep, check it out.
There's an app for that.
vfntv.com. You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers. You know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display His love and, you know, the power of His presence through the VFN family to just draw me to Himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day. We're 24/7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24/7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at vfntv.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.